You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started.
Yes, you will.
As well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
Wow.
Check out our newest course, Essential Campus Pastoring, at newchurches.com/campuspastor to learn more about the core competencies of a campus pastor, regardless of the type of multi-site church that you have.
Didn't pause so I couldn't say anything else. You just like had a run-on sentence there because you knew that I was going to say amen or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last episode we were together, we ended
Who
with an
you?
Altar call, right?
It was,
but
yes.
Because of copyright reasons, we had to cut out the music and we weren't able to do all that, but it was fun.
If Ed would have been on, he would have sang for sure.
He would have sang. Yes.
There's no question.
This is true. So my name is Daniel M, and this is Todd Adkins.
What?
In the Lifeway
studio. My
what's
have been a week.
Yeah.
In the new year. I got out of practice, and I need to build that back
gotta
up.
Got to get back into it.
I got a tweet from a listener who said that I think there was some volume control issue with their device, and they were running or something, mowing the yard, something, and they... it got fixed right as I was about to say what was the first thing they heard, and they had the volume turned up way too loud. They're like,
"This is fantastic.
You broke my eardrums," because the first thing I heard was what?
Yeah, well, I listen to podcasts and audiobooks when I mow the lawn as well. And you know, you got to turn it up pretty high to listen to it, unless you have an electric mower, which I had for 2 years, and it was horrible. It was great at the beginning, but the battery just died, and it wasn't one of the plug-in ones. It was a battery one. But it's just, man, I went back to gas.
You need a goat. I bet your neighbors and your HOA would love if you had some goats.
It's true.
It's Nashville.
I have enough poo in my backyard because of my dog. I don't need a goat.
But, okay, we'll get some chickens.
Good chicken, yeah. My grandmother grew up, they had chickens in the city. They had a little bit of some land. I mean, it wasn't directly in Vancouver. It was a little bit out in Surrey. But they had a little bit of farm, and they did a greenhouse. And I remember feeding those chickens, and one day all the chickens were gone. But dinner was good.
I fell through a chicken house early on as a child. And
oh, no.
It was very traumatic.
Oh, but did you get cut by chicken wire?
No. I mean, this is like a couple of office. This is a decent sized chicken house.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And for some reason, I thought it would be a great idea. I climbed up the fence and then somehow pulled myself up on top of this thing. And it's, a tin roof.
Yeah.
And I fell through. It's one of my mom's favorite stories. I can't remember what happened.
Were you planning to jump off?
I don't know what I was planning on doing, frankly. So I fell through, and when they found me, they asked me what happened, and I said, I thought I blasted off to heaven. I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. I was kind of a chunk, so.
I climbed up on one of my friend's roofs, his shed beside the pool.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't fall, because we basically climbed up on the shed on the roof to jump off and jump into his pool.
Did you make it?
I did make it, but there was quite a gap. I'm glad I didn't fall, because it was a slick
roof.
That was
bad. Yeah. So growing up in the middle of nowhere, we jumped off bridges. There was a water tower next to the river that was like a rite of passage kind of thing.
Did you climb up the water tower?
I'm not saying I did or didn't.
Water towers are tall.
It was pretty tall. But, I would never do half. I can't believe I'm alive.
Yeah.
And I can't believe my parents let me do half the stuff they did. A lot of it they didn't know, of course.
Well,
but
back when we were kids, it was like, see you later, come back for dinner, and I'd be out all Saturday. They had no way to contact me. They didn't even know where I was.
So a lot of family get-togethers now is telling my parents things that I did that they didn't know I did. And I'm like, you haven't heard that story? They're like, no. What? You wouldn't tell us that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. But yeah. I had fun.
Yeah. Well, now that they can't punish you because you're not under their roof, yeah. It's all fun and games.
It's all fun and games.
Well, today's question is from Greg, who is an American planting a church in Manchester.
I'm glad you. England?
Yes. And he's submitted a couple questions in the past, so let's listen into this one.
Hi there. My name is Greg. I'm an American planting a church in Manchester, England. My question for you guys, some guidelines for preaching as a plant just starting out. So what books or sections of books would you go to and why, how to approach it, maybe some practical examples. And for a bit of context, I'm planting a church in a very liberal part of Manchester, which is in itself quite a liberal city in the UK, and most people here would see Christianity as something that they already know about and have moved on from. So any help would be great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Greg, I have two words for you. It's one name, Tim Keller.
Okay, and so I'll go on the other side just for the sake of playing. Well, I can't say devil's advocate.
No.
Because that would be wrong. But another side of the spectrum, it would be Stanley. Anything yes. that Stanley has written on communication, yes. casting vision, preaching, read it, reread yeah. it,
so let's and read actually, it again. This is good. Let's talk about the two examples. I'll start with Tim Keller. The reason he came right up to me is because he is in a very liberal city as well. But the way he preaches, the way he has been able to reach his city, and as you know, he's stepping down from his day-to-day responsibilities in his church so that he can devote more into his network and into city to city, into the New York project. And in fact, if you're a denominational or a network leader, we have a gathering that we convene called the CPLF gathering, the Church Planting Leaders Fellowship. And the only way that you can be a part of that is if you're leading your denomination or your network regionally, nationally, locally, in some sort of leadership role. And this November, we are actually doing a road trip and going out to New York, where we are going to be with Tim and his team. So if you want to learn more about that or apply to join, you can go to newchurches.com/CPLF, CPLF, to learn more about that. But you know what? One of the reasons I bring up Tim is because he, in a day and age or throughout the decades of seeker-sensitive preaching, throughout the decades of this mega churches growing, and this whole idea of hey, you need to do attractional messages, you have to kind of be not light on the gospel, but you need to have a lot of cultural engagement, and there's a lot of that has just been so popular and in the church. Tim Keller is really bucked that trend and seen a lot of conversions, a lot of impact, a lot of effect in New York City, which is a very liberal context. So that's fascinating. So I would encourage you to read his stuff and listen to his messages, which I'm sure you're doing, but don't try to be Keller, right? Don't try to be Keller. Don't try to preach like
him.
Man,
the worst
learn.
Thing on earth yeah. is, so one of the things I was going to say is, hey man, listen widely.
Yeah.
To lots of different pastors. Don't pick one and mimic them. Mm-hmm. One of the worst things that I have experienced in my life is seeing someone who tries to channel, you know, Piper or yes. Keller or whoever, pick a preacher. I would say it's okay to do that early on a little bit.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to figure out how
absolutely.
To preach.
Absolutely.
Totally.
But ultimately, you're going to find your cadence. The worst thing is to see somebody try to match the cadence and even mannerisms of a Chandler yeah. or Piper.
And I love,
because you can throw out a shoulder on yeah, either one of those.
That's true. Communicating for a Change by Andy Stanley. I mean, I love
that's
that
the
book.
One. Okay. Yeah. So you talked about Keller. You're not going to let me talk about Stanley.
No. I it was my transition to you.
Okay.
And I wanted to pass it on, not to say that I don't like Stanley, because I love that book. I love his podcast. I love the ministry that he's led. And he's such a gifted communicator, such a gifted preacher, but he's so different.
He's so different than Keller.
Yet they've both seen people come to Christ. They've both have city impact and national impact as well. So
yeah.
why don't you talk a little bit about Stanley for us?
Okay. So I would say a couple of different books to read there would be Communicating for a Change. That's the big one on preaching. Another one would be Deep and Wide.
Yes.
So Deep and Wide is creating, you know, churches that unchurched people like to attend. And so that is a more practitioner, practical, dare I say pragmatic book. But Communicating for a Change is big. And then, you know, Visioneering is also one of his books that's, mm-hmm. I think, really important when launching a church. So think about those. And I would say, you know, if you read the same resources that everybody else does, you're going to get the same results. You're not going to get something unique and special and different. So, you know, read widely. Hopefully you are already concrete in your thought and theology. And if that's the case, then, man, you know, read widely so that you can understand different points of view, so that you can take the best elements of different things that people have to offer and not, you know, wholesale in everything that they have. But mm-hmm. you can take bits and pieces and really create your own thing. Now,
yeah.
I will say this, and I can't remember who originally said it, so I can't attribute it, but, you know, you 5 years from now, you'll be the same person you are today, except for the books that you read and the people that you talk to. Mm. Or the
and
other
the podcast
leaders that
you listen to.
And the podcast that you listen to. Man, that should have been number one.
Should have been.
I'm going to have to change that and then, you know, claim it. That I said this.
And the Audible books that you listen to.
And the Audible books that you listen to. No, but it's true. And so I would say it's honestly a good balance to take those two people that we've mentioned and say, okay, what can I learn? What are some best practices from both of these people?
Totally, totally. So when you look at Tim Keller, there are two things that stand out to me about him. One of them is the whole idea of him not being apologetic about preaching the gospel, preaching truth, preaching, and really getting into it rather than trying to water it down. The other thing is that he really connects all of his sermons to Christ. I mean, this is the heart of one of our Bible studies at Lifeway, the Gospel Project. And just look it up if you haven't seen it yet. Probably one of the best kids curriculum. I mean, we have kids, students, adults, but honestly, one of the best kids curriculums.
Well, it's like less than 3 years old and over a million people use it.
I know. It is insane. And I love how my church uses it and how after the kids, you know, I ask them what they thought and they're really always pointing it to Christ. And that's really one of the things that really early on that I appreciated about Keller and his sermons because he did that. But if you don't know, if you don't know this, Edmund Clowney is actually the person who taught Tim Keller how to do that, right? So if you don't know who Edmund Clowney is, look him up on Amazon, look him up on Google, because he has a book, Preaching Christ in All of Scripture. Just look, try to digest what he's done, because actually he's the one who taught Keller how to preach the gospel to postmodern people. He taught Keller how to preach much of the way that he is doing it right now and to connect Christ in all of Scripture as well. So that's a great resource to pick up on.
Cool. I would say, yeah, you're going to learn different elements from different people. I don't expect your theology or even preaching style to necessarily change a ton. But do take some of the elements. I mean, if you combined both of those people together, I don't know that you could go wrong.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to submit your questions at newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. If you're on your mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And if you have not yet reviewed us on iTunes, we would appreciate that. It helps other people discover us, and we do hand out swag occasionally for those who reviewed us. So thanks again, and be sure to check us out next time.